One thing that helps me, I think, when I'm in those moments is assuming the best about people even when they're at their worst.
Oh, wow. That's
so good.
You know, saying like, what's still true about this person even now?
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
This week, we are talking about handling difficult relationships.
Oh,
Last week, we covered community, but we know what happens when we dare to find community is there are always challenges. So that's what we're covering this time around.
Yeah. So the obvious confession question would be, who is the most difficult person in your life? But we're going to flip that because honestly, confession questions need to be about us. So how have you been the difficult person? Somebody start first.
I don't want to start first.
I'll go. I tend to be the pick up my skirt and run girl. I'm an avoider, but sometimes communication is so important and necessary, actually all the time. But how I've been an extremely difficult person is being unwilling to have those hard conversations. So yeah, I think that going silent, radio silence. And being invisible is like the worst thing that you can do to kind of sever a relationship. The whole point is like coming together, right? So when you run from that, I've had to realize that that's just as difficult as someone kind of being abrasive or whatever. So me being like shutting down and running is part of the problem as well.
Yeah. But, you know, we keep talking about these confession questions beforehand, and then I go home and actually think about it. And it's like the Holy Spirit's just shining on the light saying, okay, Suze, here's a growth area. I've been the difficult person when I have been too tenacious on something. Like, I so want to solve it or fix it that I don't give it room to just breathe and be. You know, being a fixer is not necessarily a great attribute.
And I can be overly emotional at times. I've had some serious meltdowns. So last year I was really sick. I was taking like Benadryl and halfway out of my mind. And my husband came in and said something to me and I can't even remember what it was now, but like I misunderstood and I just started like bawling and left the room and slammed the door, which I never do. And he was just like stunned, like, what happened? And I was afraid I would do more harm. So I got in my car in my pajamas and I couldn't figure out where to go. It's at Chick-fil-A. So I went to Chick-fil-A and I couldn't go in because I was like carrying the plague. So I got waffle fries and a Diet Dr. Pepper and sat in the parking lot and called one of my close friends and told her what I did. And she was like, Holly, go home and go to sleep. So I went home and I woke up like 3 hours later and found my husband and sat next to him and thought, okay, he's going to lied into me, which is not who he is, but I just so thought I deserved it. And he put his arm around me and said, none of us are at our best all the time.
Oh, Mark.
He's
so
a good guy.
Sweet.
But you know, I still think about that because we all have our moments of being the difficult person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's a good phrase to remember for the people we think are being difficult too, is none of us are at our best all the time.
Right.
No, so what can we do to help us with that? Like, what's going to be our strategy in 5 minutes or less to kind of help us be aware when we're the difficult person or how to have grace for the difficult people in our life?
Yeah, well, I want to share a story too. And that is not too long ago, there was a situation where I desperately wanted to fix it. And my intentions were pure. My motivations were pure. And as I prayed about it and as I began to put on my superwoman cape, you know, because I was there to save the day, I felt the Lord just really speaking to me and saying, this is not your assignment. Mm-hmm. It's not your job. It's mine. And I began to really think about all the things that I wanted to do, which were intended to be helpful, but were actually going to make our relationship more difficult because I was going to take the role of the Holy Spirit in this person's life. And my voice and my actions were going to be so loud that this person really couldn't hear what the Lord was trying to say. And so for me, I needed to step back and basically almost put like a chalk line around my feet that says, this is what is my job. This is what I can do. I can encourage. I can pray. But outside of that, it's their job or it's God's job. And that has really, honestly, it was freeing. It was absolutely freeing. It was hard, but it was freeing.
Yeah.
Something that's helping me is to realize that when I find myself shutting down, that the best thing that I can do is to stay present. And so I'll actually have those hard conversations. So I've been, you know, whether it's my husband or just friends or family, where I just say, you know what, I feel myself shutting down and here's the reason why.
Wow.
You know, and so when I give people insight to like what might be happening, so maybe it's stress, maybe it's overwhelming schedule, maybe it's I'm not feeling well, like Holly was talking about, but just to let people know so it's not a mystery anymore. Yeah. So
Jennifer, I think that's so hard to do.
It
though.
Is.
That
it
is so hard.
But with those relationships that really matter, even when they are sometimes volatile, just to say that and be vulnerable, yeah. It's just extended this grace cushion for myself and for the people that is on the other side of that conversation. So, you know, whatever they want to do with it. But most people will be like, okay, I get that,
yeah.
You know, if we'll just communicate.
That's almost like having like a good fight, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you're not having a bad fight. Yeah. You're not tearing each other down. You're dealing with the issues. You're listening to the other person. But you're having a good fight.
Right.
That says you're worth fighting for. Our relationship is worth fighting for. You're worth listening to. And so we're going to hash this out. We're going to hash this out until we either come to a resolution or maybe we agree to disagree.
Yeah. I remember I took a course called Communication in Conflict in college.
Oh, I need that course.
And the one thing I remember from it is they said the couples most likely to split up were not the ones who fought all the time. Okay. And they were not the ones who fought occasionally. They mm-hmm. were the ones who never fought at all.
Wow.
And there is fighting that's destructive, you know, where you're personally attacking.
Sure.
That's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But where you're working through things, you know, in another course in grad school, they talked about how conflict is the way two eyes become a we. And so we tend to fight it, but it's kind of the way that two become one. And that sounds very nice and pretty. Obviously, in real life, it's a lot of ugly crying and, you know, making
and
peace
and
going to the Chick-fil-A parking lot. So one thing that helps me, I think, when I'm in those moments is assuming the best about people, even when they're at their worst.
Oh, wow.
That's so good.
You know, saying like, what's still true about this person even now? And there are exceptions, yes. Like if we're talking about abuse or like, I mean, that kind of thing, this doesn't apply. But when it's like the coworker who's just getting on your nerves or the friend who has let you down or the family member who is, you know, doing whatever that's disrupting your household.
Never to be named in this podcast.
Then I think we can say, okay, who do I know this person to be?
Yeah.
And how can I address this behavior without tearing them down as a person?
Yeah.
Because I think that makes such a difference. And I think I believe that because I've so often needed to be on the receiving end of it. You know, like my husband's saying, you're just not at your best right now. I know you are more than this snot ball waffle fry eating person on my couch right now.
Yeah. Well, and for me, the one thing I can do is just simply ask this question. Is this my assignment?
Yeah.
And the Lord is faithful to show you, to answer that. Now, the harder part is when you hear no, is to put that assignment down, because that means that you're going to allow that person to deal with their own stuff.
Yeah.
And that means that you're not in control, and that's okay, but you have self-control, which is just is far more powerful than being in control. So.
Yeah.
Is this my assignment? And then secondly, if the Lord, if you sense him saying no, listen to that, heed that.
Yeah, I think that's a great next step, which is our section where we wrap up. We talk about steps we can take today in 5 minutes or less. So that would be one, asking yourself the question, is this really my assignment?
Yeah.
what I was just thinking about is how I can keep myself from pointing fingers and being defensive and just looking at myself instead. Because I think naturally when things are hard and things are volatile, we want to place blame, but just taking that, you know, that 2 seconds to just kind of shut down and say, okay, this is how I want to handle this, and be gracious instead of placing blame.
Yeah. So I think that's another question mm-hmm. that we can ask. What's my part in this?
Right.
You know, and then for me, a third question, I guess all our steps are questions today. So questions. 5 minutes or less, ask yourself these questions. So my question would be, what do I love about this person?
Yeah.
And just remembering that, because I think we can all get in a place where we become blind to everything except the bad behavior that is driving us crazy in the moment. And we need a more balanced perspective to be able to go into those hard conversations where we really address what is going on. And again, I don't think we have to like feel any of this. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, okay. when I ask that question, right. I don't feel it. You know, I say it through gritted teeth. Well, I love that, blah, 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 you know, but it's a first step that we can take.
It is. And it's a powerful step. Well, we have some great resources for you if this is something that you're in the midst of. Because if you're in the midst of living with a difficult relationship, or you're the difficult one, we have some resources, because we've all been there. I've been on both sides, friends. I have been on both sides. And when I look at a resource, Holly, your book, Fierce Hearted, is a powerful, powerful resource for that. Tell us why that will help when you're handling difficult relationships.
Well, it actually started out of being hurt by someone. I was very hurt by someone close to me in a way that made me think, I want to quit everything and walk away and go live on a desert island by myself, as long as there's still the waffle fries. And Jesus met me in that place and said, you know what? I'll love you if you make that choice. But if you want to know a different way, there is one. And that started me on a real journey of healing for my own heart that also did end up leading to healing in that relationship, too.
Wow, that's powerful.
Well, we are going to be talking about healthy, happy relationships. So I like that we're kind of wrapping up this thing. But one resource that can help you is Susie's book, The Unburdened Heart. Mm-hmm. I think that that is so good, because all of these things are heavy burdens. So knowing how to unpack those is just very powerful.
Yeah, that's finding the freedom of forgiveness. Jennifer, so I used to say, I should forgive, and I realize that I get to.
So good.
That I get to forgive, that I get to live free, that I get to live unburdened. But that, believe me, that was not an overnight process at all.
Yeah. And sometimes the person we most need to forgive is ourselves.
Yes.
And that's, I love in Jennifer's book, Freedom, she has a chapter called More Issues Than Vogue. I love that. So if you need to work on that too, that's another helpful resource. So I think today we just want to acknowledge that, you know, difficulties are a part of being in relationships with other humans. And sometimes we are the difficult ones, and sometimes we are the ones extending grace to those who are driving us crazy in the moment. And it happens to the best of us, but we can move toward love, move toward understanding, move toward questions that will help us resolve what's going on in our relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's hard work, but it's work that's worth it. And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available through the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can subscribe to More Than Small Talk through your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode. Thanks for listening.